Well, it's good to see each and every one of y'all here this evening. Merry Christmas to you. If you have a copy of Scripture with you this morning, we're going to be in the Gospel of John. If you'd like, if you do not have a copy of Scripture, you can use one of the Bibles in the pew in front of you. And if you do not have a Bible, please take that one with you. Consider it our gift to you this evening. Merry Christmas. This evening, I just want to look at one verse very quickly. We're going to be looking at John chapter 1, verse 14. Let me just read it for you, and then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, You are the Word of God, the one who reveals the Father to us. We pray that we may enter into the reality John speaks of in this verse now before us. That this evening, as we hear Your Word proclaimed, we may see Your glory anew. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, there is a rather moving scene towards the end of the Charlie Brown Christmas movie. Perhaps you're familiar with it. It's one where Linus is on stage, and he's reading from the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 2, referring to the nativity. And you may remember that Linus is the one that is always carrying around with him the blue security blanket. And over again, the goal is to get Linus to away from his security blanket. So Lucy and Snoopy and others are trying to constantly separate him from the blanket, but they never quite succeed. And so the climactic moment in this movie is the good news about Jesus is being read, and Linus completely forgets himself, and he stands on the stage with his arms in the air and his head up high, reciting Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14 from memory. And his blue security blanket forgotten on the floor at his feet. Charles Schultz, the creator of the Peanuts cartoons, clearly understood the wonder that we ought to feel when we consider the message of Jesus' birth. When we get it, when we see it, when we see it for what it is, and the joy of it and the glory of it, we, like Linus in the cartoon, become self-forgetful. The blue security blanket lies forgotten at our feet. And we realize that Jesus is all we need. And John chapter 1, verse 14 is one of those places that one can turn to really rekindle the wonder as we consider what happened on the first Christmas in the birth of Jesus Christ. And perhaps it will reawaken wonder in your hearts this evening, or perhaps it will kindle it for the very first time as we think about it, about what took place that very day in Bethlehem. Of course, we won't get to unpack all the rich truths that are in this verse, but I do want us to look at a few things that we can see. Two things in particular. First, what the Word did. what the word did. And then secondly, I want us to see what we see. What we see. So what the word did and what we see. Very simple, two-point mini-sermon here. So first, what the word did. Look at verse 14 again. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so John's gospel begins in John 1:1, where he makes this bold proclamation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we have the identity of the Word. The Word is God, but yet at the same time, somehow, he is with God. So the Word is God, but yet the Word is with God, meaning toward God, meaning beside God. So he is identical to God, and yet somehow there's a distinction to be made here in the Godhead. And in verse 14, our passage, we learn that the Word is the only Son. Or a better translation would be the only begotten of the Father. The Word is the Son of God. So here John is giving us really the fundamentals of the great and sometimes difficult doctrine of the Trinity. There is one single God, yet there is yet the single God subsists or exists in three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one of the same essence. They are the same nature, equal in power and glory. And notice what it says about the Son of the Father. The Word became flesh. And so this one who is God became flesh. This is really an astounding declaration. Flesh here is shorthand for the fullness of ordinary human nature, what it is to be human being. Notice what he says, not just that the Word nearly put on humanity like a new suit of clothes. The Word did not simply appear in human likeness. No, instead John says that the Word became flesh. He came to possess human nature as his very own nature. The Word, who was God, by whom all things were made, without whom was nothing, not anything made that has been made, this Word became flesh. He did not cease to be the Word. He did not cease to be God, to be the divine Son. He did not cease to hold all of his attributes that God has, but now he adds on the human nature to his deity. And so the nature of the divine deity takes on human nature. He became flesh. He entered into creatureliness. The creator of all things himself became liable to weakness and to weariness and to sorrow and to suffering. All the liabilities that we have as fleshly creatures existing in this world as we endure it every day, the liabilities he assumed. The one of whom John says in him was life, the fountain of life, the source of life, the offer of life, can be bruised. He is bruisable. He is woundable. He is even killable. One of the fathers of the early church famously said the unassumed is the unredeemed. And so he meant by this that Jesus assumed all the weakness of real human nature, sin accepted, in order to do for us in our nature what we could not do for ourselves. He came on a rescue mission. By joining himself to our nature in Jesus. Obeying for us in our flesh, bleeding for us, dying for us, rising and reigning for us in our flesh. The Son of God made himself an inexhaustible store of blessing, perfectly suitable for our needs. Matching our fleshly experience perfectly. Why? Why did he do this? Why was he born? Why not simply appear as a man? Now, if we were going to do it, we would just skip all the weirdness of being a baby and going through adolescence and being a teenager, go through that. No, just let's be an adult. And so why did God the Son, why did he come as a baby and go to the cross and bleed and die and rise again? Why be born as an infant? Why go through adolescence and adulthood? Why? He did it so that he might be a suitable Savior for us all. He did it so that he might fit you, whether you are a child, whether you are a boy or a girl, whether you are a teenager, or whether you are an adult. He did it so that he would be fitting, a fitting Savior for us all. Obeying at every stage of life, of the natural human development, and enduring all the liabilities appropriate to each stage of growth and maturing and developing. He did it to be a suitable Savior for us all. One to whom you can go to, whatever age you are, whatever stage in life you may be. He came to be the perfect rescuer for you. And the salvation God the Father provides when he sent his Son, Jesus, into the world fits your very need. Jesus fits you like a hand and a glove. You could not look to anywhere else for the deepest questions of your heart. You could not look for anywhere else for your deepest need in life. There is no better answer than the one God has provided in Christ Jesus. He fits you. He meets your needs. He is a suitable Savior for you. He came in your nature. And John says more than that, he became flesh and dwelt among us. You may know this, but the language here that John uses here for the word dwelt is the word that we hear in the Old Testament for tabernacle. Literally, he is saying that he took flesh and tabernacled among us. And so if you remember the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the tent that Israel would carry through the wilderness, and that would be where they could go to worship the Lord. That they could be in God's presence in the tabernacle, where sin was dealt with and the sacrifices were made. Why did Jesus take flesh and come among us to dwell with us, to tabernacle among us? He did it to be available to us. He did it that you might meet God in him. That's what happened in the Old Testament. That's what happened in the tabernacle. The people went to meet God. And God has come down in Jesus that you might find access to him. And then Jesus, just like in the ancient tabernacle, his sin was atoned for by his blood at the cross. This is why we sang as we did this morning, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. God and Jesus has come among us to be with us as one of us, to be our rescuer and our Savior. What the Word did. And so as we sing these wonderful songs, as we have tonight and this morning about Jesus' birth, we can't just fly by them, and because they are familiar tunes. We sing them every year and year after year, and we love them. We look forward to them. They are filled with nostalgia and warm Christmas lights in our memory. And that is a beautiful thing, which we give thanks to God for. But we must understand, we must remember the very miracle that we are singing about. The wonder of it, the glory of it. The God who made you, the God who hung the very stars, who was born a virgin, grew and lived and bled and died to be for you a perfect Savior. And that's what the Word did. So let's look secondly at what we see. Look at verse 14 again. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the Son, the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so what do you see when you look at Jesus? You see the glory of God. The very glory of God. We see what God is really like. And the glory of God revealed in Jesus does not consume us in our sin, because He is full of grace and truth. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Full of grace and truth. The glory of the Son of God is full of graciousness towards us sinners. There is no inadequacy in Jesus. He is all of grace. He is all of truth. He is all that you need this Christmas. He is all that you need for 2024 and the years to come. He is all that you need all your days and forever. Everything, all of it, can be found in Jesus Christ. He is full of grace and truth. You will never exhaust the supplies of grace and truth that you need. If you look to Jesus Christ, He became flesh so that you may, or He became flesh so that you can go to Him. He is one of us. You can approach Him, come to Him when you are in need. And when you do, you will find Him to be full. He will be overflowing with grace and truth. There's no need to look elsewhere for hope. There's no need to look elsewhere for healing. No need to look elsewhere for pardon. No need to look elsewhere for a clean conscience. No need to look elsewhere for ultimate answers or for fresh word, for new truth. You only need to look to Jesus Christ. See Him. See the glory of Him. See the wonder of Him. He is full of grace and truth. So that's why Charles Schulz has Linus drop his security blanket as he reads the Christmas story. He saw Jesus' glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, as Linus reads this story, as Linus reflects on this truth, and he is in awe of who God is, he is at peace. He is secure. Linus is full of joy because of the fullness of grace and truth he's found only in Jesus. So I have to ask you tonight, as you're here, do you know this? Do you know this grace and this truth? Do you know anything about it? The grace and truth that brings peace and joy to all who look to Jesus Christ? Well, as you celebrate tonight and tomorrow with your family and loved ones and friends, My prayer for you and for yours is that like John, you will behold Jesus' glory and find for yourself the fullness of grace and truth in Him. And so may the Lord bless you with joy and peace and believing the gospel, and give to you all a very Merry Christmas. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this indescribable gift that you have given us in Jesus. We pray that you would fix our eyes on him, that we would find our hope and comfort, our joy and our peace. We would find cleansing of conscience and reconciliation to God. We would find all that we need in the fullness of grace and truth in Jesus Christ, today and for all the days ahead of us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.